I speak to you in the name of the one God of the living and the dead. Please be seated. Well, you all look very rested this morning. On Friday of this week, Carol Ann and I returned to the cathedral in Sacramento for the memorial service of a clergywoman who had served on the staff there for 7 of my 18 years as dean. She was only 57 years old and had died suddenly from a heart attack and a resulting cerebral hemorrhage. As I sat in that cathedral and looked around at the more than 550 people who had gathered to remember her and support her husband and 2 adult sons and their extended family, I marveled again at the blessing we have in being a part of a Christian family, being a member of the communion of saints, of the living and the dead. We live in a culture where so many people are connected to one another electronically, yet are totally disconnected in any meaningful way to other people. I have a priest friend who volunteers as a chaplain to ride along with sheriff deputies at night. He says that time after time after time, when he's gone with an officer to inform a family member at their home about the death of a loved one in a traffic accident, or they go to a home where there's been a suicide, and my priest friend asks the survivors, is there anyone that he can call to come and be with them? More often than not, the answer is no, there is no one. So what I'd like you to do is look around you this morning. It's okay, you can squirm in the pew. Look around. Just look around at all of these people here and realize how fortunate we are to be blessed by our connection to this diverse and unique family of people. We may not know all or even most of the names of the folks who are here, and yet we recognize familiar faces. And we know that when the chips are down, there are people who you have met from All Souls who would answer your call, especially if it came late at night. And if you're new here or you're shy and you really don't know anyone's name, you can always call one of the clergy. It's our call or calling to be there and help people make connections. My point is that every single one of us, in the words of the collect that began this service this morning for All Saints Day, every single one of us are knit together in a communion and fellowship. At its heart, Christianity is always about relationship. Relationship to God, to Jesus, to the Spirit. It's also about our relationship to our brothers and sisters in the faith, and even outside of it. Just as God loves all, we are called, as Jesus was called, to be people who love and care. All that we do in this parish, from the open door dinner, the Stephen ministry, the youth group, the choirs, the acolytes, the ushers, the angel band, the hospitality helpers, the parish work party next Sunday, all of it in one way, or Saturday, all of it in one way or another involves being in relationship. Relationship that is anchored in self-giving love. At one level or another, We are blessed by the knowledge that we need one another. And there's no shame in admitting that. In this morning's gospel, Jesus speaks of people who are blessed. Blessed in part because they are not hiding, indeed they cannot hide, their need or who or what they are. They are poor in spirit. There are those who are in mourning or who are hungry or meek, those who are merciful, those who are persecuted. And yet Jesus calls all of these people in difficult situations and circumstances, blessed. Why would he do that? First of all, I think it's because they are precisely as they appear. They are not hiding behind some kind of persona or screen. They're not covering up the reality of who they are or what's going on with them. Secondly, they are all too aware of their condition, their need of healing, or their need of others in the tough times they face. They understand in their vulnerability that if they're to find hope at all, it will have to come from God and especially from those God sends their way in life. God reaches out to us in and through our encounters with other people. Today, we remember folks who have been labeled as saints by the church. Unfortunately, the image that has been created by saints biographers and preachers like me, I suppose, in the popular mind is that saints are people who were perfect. People with no problems, no doubts, no fears, no dysfunctions, no struggles. The stories we've heard, the images we've seen in stained glass windows, all conspire to present these people as people who are larger than life, purer than the driven snow, perfect and faithful in ways that ordinary people like us could never hope to attain. Our tendency is to place saints on such a high and lofty pedestal that they do, from that distance, look flawless and without sin. However, I want to tell you that that is fairy tale thinking and far from the truth about any and every so-called saint. What makes a person a saint? First of all, he or she has a passion for living the love of God, for being the heart, soul, hands, mind of Jesus at work in the world. And these are people who are not perfect, and they don't even try to appear to others to be without significant personality flaws. It's just later on, after they're dead, that people clean up their stories. Some of them were examples of piety. Others were very angry with God and unafraid to question the revealed dogmas of the church. Some of them were quite combative, difficult people with whom to deal. They may or may not have been humble. Secondly, they were people, though, without pretense. People who laughed and cried, who hoped and dreamed, who sweat and labored and sacrificed for the values of the kingdom of God. And so on this Sunday, one Sunday a year, we remember all the saints, the people with good publicity agents or whatever who somehow managed to get themselves in the church book that lists all the people who are saints and who are remembered throughout the year. But for people who couldn't get to church every single day of the year, All Saints Sunday is a way to sort of gather all those saints together and remember their corporate and individual contributions to the life of the church through the ages. But on this day, we also remember all souls. These are people who we didn't know from encountering them in a book. They are people that we know personally. Their names may not be in some church book of holy men and holy women, but for each of us, these are people who we remember in our own hearts and minds. People who knowingly and sometimes unknowingly have touched us with God's forgiving, healing, and love. These souls are the people that we know as real people, flawed and real. But somehow they helped us see the larger purposes of life, and they blessed us by who they were, with a vision of what life lived well in the light of God's love can be for us and for all people. In their time of living on this earth and walking the earthly pilgrimage we all walk in what we call life, they blessed us with their example of being giving people, loving people, honest people, alive people, people who shared a real relationship with God and with their fellow human beings. On this day, we give thanks for those special people who blessed us. And it's precisely because of this blessing that we are empowered to be a blessing in the lives of others. Our ofrenda over here, our altar with mementos of those who have been saints to us, is a vivid symbol proclaiming that we are all connected in a blessed community. You see, All Saints, All Souls Sunday is a wonderful reminder that we are a community of people composed of not just the living, but also the dead. People who are linked by God, who created us and loves us, no matter what or who we are. People who love us in heaven, people who love us on earth. At this very moment, we are all part of a great and mystical communion or community of the living and the dead. And we're reminded of that truth, which I think most of the time we forget, on this All Saints, All Souls Sunday. And one thing that I hope you will realize, if it's not already occurred to you, is that you and I are also people who are called to be saints. Even if you and I don't quite know how it happened, we're here by God's personal invitation. Each of us have been called to join in the joyful and challenging journey of being saints. We have gifts and talents to give in ways, large and small, to make a difference. And we symbolize that on this holy day by offering our pledges for 2012 at the altar in just a little while. And it's a way for us to say, by bringing our pledge forward, that we are part of this great pilgrimage, this great procession, this wonderful community of saints, living and dead, people who have sought in life, and I think probably in death, to know God and to live God's love. And so this morning, before you offer your gift, I hope that you will, for just one more time, consider all that is represented by your offering. Is it your best? Is it a way in which you can join with the generosity of God? If you look at the lives of every saint and you think about those people who are saintly in your own life, I think that one of the attributes that cuts across all these people is that they are people who were generous. Throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, we're told that the tithe is the standard for giving. Offering 10% used to be that they were farmers, so they gave 10% of their harvest. But do we have any farmers here this morning? Probably not. So, you know, we give 10% of our income. And, you know, people get all up in arms about, is that 10% gross or net, before taxes, after taxes? It doesn't matter. Define it for yourself. But what I can tell you is that when you give 10%, you learn the habit and the discipline of generosity. And I think probably in this day and age, when most of us are mortgaged to the hilt and have to figure out how we're going to stretch the money to pay the bills every month, it's pretty hard for anybody to sort of go from being a 1% or a 2% giver up to giving 10%. Unless you want to give your house back to the bank. But you can move ahead a percent or two. And I hope that what you're offering this morning is an honest attempt to try and do that. And if it's not, or if you just think about this sermon and say, well, you know, maybe that old guy was right, and maybe I can increase a percentage or two, you can always change your pledge. And that's true up or down. But what I want to tell you is that Carol Ann and I have been tithers all of our adult lives, and there are others in this parish who are tithers. And I think that we will all attest to the fact that this is a spiritual blessing and a discipline that makes us happy. It doesn't ensure that we don't have hardship and difficulty or that we... You know, like the prosperity gospel, you cast your bread on the water and it'll come back to you twofold and buttered. It's not that kind of a thing. It's rather just that it just feels good to connect with God in that spirit of generosity that is so much a part of who God is. And I am such a believer in this that I asked the vestry if they would agree to allow me to say that if you become a tither and you write on your pledge card, new tither, and you do that for 3 months and you don't find that somehow your life is blessed and that you are connected to God and to the communion of saints in a new and better way, that after 3 months you can contact Father Phil and say, you know what? Well, you can tell me, but I won't be able to do anything about it. You can contact Father Phil, and the vestry has voted that they'll give you all of that money that you tithe back, if that's what you want. You know, I've been doing this in congregations where I've been for years and years, and when I originally thought of this, I thought, well, I feel so strongly about this, and I know it's so important that we give people double their money back. But then I thought about it a little bit, and I thought, no, Episcopalians are too smart for that. They'd all want double their money back. So, but there is just something about tithing, and I've never met a person who's gotten into the discipline of tithing who's ever backed away from it. So that's my warning to you. Once you do this, you don't ever look back, because there's just something really great about partnering with God and having a generous heart. Because it's God's generous heart that has invited each of us to join in this community and in the gigantic procession that's made up of people living and dead who work for the kingdom of God. Whether we know it or not, we walk each day with the legacy of those people who have toiled and fought, as the hymn tells us, and lived and died for the Lord they loved and knew. We're all participants in this. And it's a mystery. And sometimes it's puzzling. But it is always a pilgrimage, sometimes two steps forward, one step back, but it's always a pilgrimage towards that love and divine mystery that we call God. And in the eyes of God, you see, all of us are in white garments. All of us are loved by God. And that means that the things which so often divide us are not nearly as significant as we tend to make them, because we are all children of God. So it doesn't matter whether we are red or black or yellow or white or brown or any other color. God embraces all of us as His children. We are members of one family. Young and old, gay and straight, rich and poor, able-bodied and differently abled, addicts and those in recovery, faith-filled and doubtful, all of us are part of one great earthly and heavenly procession. So this morning, I hope that you hear the sound of the footsteps and you hear the music and the call of your heart to be real and to be generous, to offer yourself as you are, flaws and all, your whole being, to offer everything joyfully so that we can together as a community sing the joyful song of the saints of God, saints who are always blessed to be a blessing. Amen.